Hey everybody, welcome to J&J on Jazz, powered by Jazzwire.
This is my friend Jeff, who drinks 6 cups of coffee every day.
Every day. And this is my friend James. He told me last week he had a nitro cold brew and it almost put him in the hospital with heart palpitations. So, you know, use your accelerants wisely. All right. Well, here's what we wanted. Here's what we want to do this week. James and I are going to teach each other a lick. We're going to do lick of the day, and we're going to do these videos more coming up in the future, maybe once a month, every once in a while, because we got to get our jazz vocabulary together, right? We got to learn some new kind of hip licks. So for me, I was walking my dog. That's where, you know, my best thinking happens, walking the dog the other day. And I was listening to different recordings of There Will Never Be Another You. It's a great song we're doing inside Jazzwire. And I put on some live thing. It was like Monday night at the Village Vanguard, some album I didn't really know. And it's Lee Morgan and Hank Mobley. And I heard a lick that I've heard a million times and never really learned. A really cool kind of bluesy thing. So let me play it here for you in the key of B flat.
I'm all ears.
That is the lick. And I've heard it a million times, and it was cool. I heard Hank Mobley play it over that first major chord in the song. And that's something that people at Jazzwire have been asking about, like, how do we sound bluesy? And how do people sound bluesy on a major chord? That doesn't quite make sense, right? Very interesting. By the way, speaking of Jazzwire, all you folks out there, thousands of you that watch this every week, why are you sitting on your butt and not wanting to get better? Go check out the free limited access for Jazzwire. I would love to have you work with James and I and so many more people inside Jazzwire. It's a blast. So we've been working on that tune and that lick. So I bet you can kind of tell where it's coming from, James. It's all notes from the blues scale, right? Mm-hmm. Did I just play it in the key of what? B-flat? Is that what I said?
Sounded like B-flat to me, right?
I need a 7th cup of coffee. That's what's going on. So the B flat, yeah, not funny. The B flat blues scale. So it doesn't even use all of those notes. It only uses the first 5 notes. So it starts out as a half step approach to the 5th. So we could say flat 5 to the 5 or sharp 4 to the 5 up to the root. So fantastic chromatic approach to a couple chord tones. Goes up to the root, and then it comes back to that flat 5 and comes down the scale. So in the key of B flat, E, F, B flat, E, E flat, D flat, B flat, comes down the blues scale. And sometimes they put a little wiggle at the end. You got that, James?
Let me try it. I like this.
All right.
One.
It's a good one.
That's it, right?
That's it. Nailed it. And
man, for me,
I've heard that for decades, right? It's just one of those things like saying, how's it going, right? Like we hear all the greats playing that. I'm not going to say it's a Hank Mobley lick because I guarantee it was played 30 years before he came around to it.
Sure.
But such a great classic lick. And the thing is, I heard him play it over a major 7 chord. But of course, it's more of a bluesy dominant lick, and it works great over minor chords. So like, holy cow, what a really usable lick. So let me do this. I'm just going to play a chorus of blues a cappella, and I'm going to play it in there a couple times. And the cool thing is, especially on the blues, you can just keep playing it over in the tonic key. So even when the chord change goes to the 4 chord or on the 2-5-1 at the end of the blues, it still works over all those places. And by the way, for those of you that aren't quite sure, I went kind of fast there, 2-5-1 at the end of the blues, what? Well, that is what we do at Jazzwire. Don't feel like you have to get ready to come into Jazzwire. Get ready to do the free trial. Our job is to get you understanding this stuff. So don't ever feel alienated at all. So let me just play a little bit of blues for you here. 1, 2, 1. So I got it in there, what, three times? At least two times.
Three times. I thought I heard three. At least two. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's still pretty new to me. It's not difficult. I know the blues scale. I understand it. But man, I'm really having to think to fit that in there. But that is what I do. And most of my friends who are pros, world-class touring pros, that's the job, is learning more vocabulary, getting it into your playing in that kind of context. So, James, what do you got for me?
So, okay, this is one that's actually pretty new to me, and I got to give credit because this is actually a concept that it shouldn't be new to me, because I studied with John Swanna, the great John Swanna, when I was in grad school at UArts, and his approach to playing diminished chords is really, really beautiful, and I'd never heard anybody really approach it this way. When I was studying with him all these years ago, I wasn't ready to hear this concept, and I'm just now starting to get to a place where I can hear it. So I guess there's a little bit of a lesson in this, in that there are some concepts that maybe someone will show you a lick or a way to play something, and you just don't hear it, or you have a hard time conceiving of it. That's okay. It's important to practice it and important to be familiar with it, but there are times when you can't force these things into your playing. So that was 15 or 16 years ago, just now to a point where I can hear this sound that I'm going to show you. So.
Man, that is genius, because my dad told me about 20 years ago, just listen to your wife and agree with her. Just agree with her and it'll be great. And so 20 years in, I've just realized that it really works great. So yeah, I wasn't ready to hear that lick, you know, 20 years ago. And now I got it.
Okay, well, jazz is after all about life. So dig it. Here's the lick. Again, it's two sounds. It's that whole half diminished scale, and it uses a first inversion major triad to give a little bit of a spin on that traditional diminished scale sound. This is, again, from a very small window into the mastery of John Swanna's diminished playing. So we're going to play that whole half diminished scale that starts on concert A. We're going to play that up, whole step, half step, till we get to F sharp concert in the scale, at which point we will play F sharp, A, and D, which is a first inversion D major triad. Check it out. It sounds like this. Kind of a neat sound, right? And Jeff, you might want to try it and play up that scale till you get to the F sharp. Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah. We can take it a step further, and we can play another first inversion major triad that's in that scale down a minor third. Okay, so we'll play up the same scale, starting on concert A, get to F sharp, and we're going to play a D first inversion major triad, just like we did. Then we'll go down a minor third and play a first inversion B, B as in boy, minor triad, major triad in first inversion. Check it out.
Oh man, I love it. And so the chord that we would put that over is an A diminished chord. Does that sound right?
Right, because we can play diminished sounds that are based on the third of the dominant seven chord.
Yep.
So I'm going to try to incorporate this into a B-flat blues. I'll play it right at the top. I'm going to start my solo in the 11th and 12th bar on the turnaround, and you'll hear that I'm going to use it to get into the beginning of the blues. Check it out.
So how, right, so how diminished sounds connect to dominant. So that is a ton. I've, right, like that's years of work, right? And so again, inside Jazzwire, we have people beginning to see these connections. And that's how, with just 12 notes, this music is practically infinite, because the ways we can combine these notes, the sounds they create, and how they link to each other, it's just endlessly fascinating. And speaking of which, so today's Friday, right? And you know what James and I are doing right now? We're teaching at Maryland Summer Jazz. So by the miracle of the internet, we're doing two things at once. You can do that with six cups of coffee. So we're teaching at Maryland Summer Jazz right now. Next week, we have the second session of Maryland Summer Jazz, July 23rd through 25th. We have two horn spots open. We have one guitar spot open. And that's it. So if you play one of those instruments, Maryland Summer Jazz, go visit the site. And man, I would love to have you join us and working with all the fantastic faculty we have. I was talking to Randy Brecker on the phone yesterday, which was pretty hip. He's one of our special guests for next week. So I hope you guys will join us for that. So yeah, James mentioned, we're going to have all this stuff written down. So that first simpler blues lick I had, this more interesting angular diminished, which is also a dominant lick. So sign up, send us an email here, and we will send you this stuff free, never any charge. And we'd be happy to put you on the mailing list so that every week you get notified of the new video, and we'll automatically send you whatever PDF there is. So we would love to have you in here on the J&J team. What do you think? Should we leave it there?
I think that's a great place to leave it. Folks have got a lot of work ahead of them with these two licks, and we hope that you'll see us in Maryland Summer Jazz for sure, and get on top of Jazzwire, folks. I'm telling you, great things happening in there, this kind of stuff all the time. So please join us on all those places, and we'll see you around.
Yeah, I'd like to hang out and talk, but I got to go work on that diminished lick. That is super cool.
I need another cup of coffee or three, and then I'll just check myself right into the ER, and we're good to go, man.
Perfect. We got our marching orders. Take care, everybody.
See you. Bye.